tonight during the week. I've been thinking about four fellas that I went to school with, and I will mention them briefly to you as we go through the message here tonight. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 22, Jeremiah chapter 8 in general, we are brought face to face with what sin does regarding men and the Lord. In verse 9, it says there, "They have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them?" In 2021, when you talk about sin, men will frown and perhaps despise you. You recognize that as you preach on the subject of sin, that it is in faithfulness to the souls of unsaved people you do that. But nonetheless, there is no appreciation or very little among the unconverted world for the preaching of the word. And sin in this chapter, as in many other places in the Bible, is represented under a figure or in a figurative way. And it's referred to in chapter 8 of the book of Jeremiah as a dreadful disease. And if you study that chapter out and you think of sin, you recognize that the description given in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6 is a very accurate description of man's awful standing before the Lord because of a sin. This is a description of old Israel long ago, but so often it's referred to as an apt description of people without the Lord. It says, "From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." The picture that that verse brings to our mind is one of suffering. It is one of pain. It is one of vulnerability. It is one, in many ways, of hopelessness. And yet what a picture it is of those who do not know the Savior. If you look there in verse 6 of this chapter, it says, "I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness." No man repented him of his wickedness. And it is accurate this evening to say that that is the case regarding so many of our fellow countrymen and countrywomen. Sin is deceitful. Sin can be held onto with great enthusiasm by those who are involved in it. Yet overall, folks, when we consider the awfulness of sin, we think of the pain that it brings, of the emptiness that accompanies it. One of the boys, this is the first one when I was at school, he was an awful man for singing. And when some of the fellows would have been going about school with, they had a school bag and maybe it said Chelsea or Man United on it, he had this bag and it said, "Long live the quo." Now some of you, unfortunately like me, will know what that is. It's Status Quo, which is a rock group. And "Long live the quo." And one day he was standing down the hall, a big long black coat on him, and I can still remember him. And he was standing facing this way, and at that time there was, again I'm showing because I was not saved then, there was a group called Ram Jam, and they had a song called Black Betty. And he was standing facing the other way, and at the top of his voice, in the hall at school, with one hand pumping the air like this, and his big long coat, he was standing there singing Black Betty for all that he was worth. And everyone was smiling and laughing. And we thought, but then the teacher was coming up behind them. And nobody warned him but the teacher was coming. So you had him standing here singing this, and the teacher standing like this behind him, wondering. Now, he didn't get into any big trouble for that. But folks, that same individual, if he knew as much about him as I did, I didn't know an awful lot. But I knew enough to know that behind his singing and entertaining of everybody, that there was a life of emptiness, a life of despair. And whenever he was on his own, his life was one of great sadness. And he would tell in his conversation of how sin continually harassed him. Maybe that is the case with someone who's listening here tonight. Snared by sin. Putting on that front that things are not really so bad. Well, here in this chapter, Jeremiah, in the context, he's greatly troubled because of his fellow countrymen. And he looks around him and he cries out, is there no balm in Gilead? Now, the balm was the resin or a gum-type substance that come from the balsam tree. And in those days, it was known to have great medicinal value. And very often, people would have taken this balm from the balsam tree and they would have applied it to a cut or to a sore that they had. And for various illnesses, this balm was the cure. But Jeremiah here, while no doubt he cared for people's physical well-being, his concern is a spiritual one, and so is mine. And when he cries out here, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? I think of what a picture there is here, clearly, of the Lord Jesus Christ as we consider the balm. And I want this evening, for the rest of the meeting, to look with you at cure recognized, then refused. Cure recognized, then refused. The balsam tree was so very different from, let's say, the oak tree, which was outstanding, a thing of beauty, notable, majestic. The balsam tree was little more than a shrub. And yet for generations in Gilead, it was farmed actually in plantations that farmed medicinal herbs. So first of all, we're looking here at news brought about balm. News brought about balm. People heard about this balm that came from Gilead. And not only was it used in the healing of local people if they would apply it to their wound, but it was exported in great quantities to Egypt. And there people would come along and they would purchase it. And it is said that it was very, very reasonable to purchase to such an extent that balm was available to all who would wish to have it. It was not a rare thing. I've already mentioned that it was brought down to Egypt in large quantities. So when people were brought news that there was a shipment of balm on the way, then whatever their illness, if they had hurt themselves, if they had particular diseases, then they would have eagerly anticipated the balm coming because they were brought news regarding it. And what a very vivid reminder of what we're taught in John's Gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says clearly, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. You see, when men and women hear of him, and they hear that his righteousness applied to your life, imputed to our account, is the answer to their sin, then they are hearing, they are being brought news about the balm. And for this balm to be effective, as it's brought to men and women, there must be a recognition that they are in need. This is one of the unusual things that sometimes happens to people. There was a man who lived, I'll just mention, near the Birches, and that could be anybody then, but I knew him just very, very briefly. And he took an illness which could have been treated. And everybody thought, well, you know, hopefully it's very treatable what he has and he will go and do it. But he was as stubborn as a mule. And in spite of what his family asked him to do and all, he simply refused the treatment. He wouldn't go for it. He did not recognize, or he refused to recognize his need. Now, ultimately, things did not go well with him because of that. But over there in Acts chapter 2, it says there in verse 37, concerning those who had listened to Peter after he had been preaching to them, remember that these, by and large, were people who'd been baying for the blood of Christ. Some of them who'd actually been involved there at the crucifixion. As hard could be. And Peter, in one of his finer moments, he stood up here and he confronted men and women, or men with their sin. And he tells them exactly what they have done in verse 23. You have taken, this is Christ he's referring to, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And they listened. And more than that, they recognized their need. Because in verse 37 it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked or convicted in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There was this recognition. And I wonder tonight, do you recognize that you are a sinner? Do you recognize the seriousness of your spiritual ailment? As we speak about the Lord Jesus Christ and we bring news of him, we bring news of him as the cure for man's sin, I wonder, do you not only recognize your need tonight, but do you recognize at all that he really is the cure? Some people are just like that man I mentioned to you, are not conscious of the depth of the danger that they're in. And this man, he lived on a farm. And people said, the talk went around the country, you know. What's wrong with him? He can go and get treated for that. He wouldn't do it. And he didn't do it, and he died. And there are people who listen to the gospel, and they're brought news about Christ, the balm for their soul, and yet they do not, up to this moment in time, seem to have recognized the depth of the danger that they're in, and therefore they continually reject him. Hence the title tonight, The Cure Recognized and Then Refused. I'm going to mention the second fella that went to school at the same time as me. He actually would have heard the gospel in my Sunday school class when I was 11 in Dungannon. Anne, I think, was in my Sunday school class as my teacher. No. Anne was in my Sunday school class, I think, and this fellow was in it too. and same age as me, lived a life of health, and then he took sick. And then he's a little bit better for a while, and now he's going sometime soon. He's to go across to the mainland, something he's not looking forward to, but he must go for his health. He must go there to see specialists, to see what they can do for him. But as you will understand tonight, what I'm saying is, and it's a wee while from when I was 11, and he knew the gospel then. And he was brought up in a home. I remember going to his father's funeral, and his father was a man who loved the Lord. And his mother too. He's actually still living. And yet through all of them years, he has had scant regard for Christ or his cure. And men and women, I ask you the question tonight. As we consider here the balm in Gilead, the cure. But the cure recognized, then refused. We've brought you news about him tonight again. Christ is the answer. He is a justifier of all who will come to him. He is the one who died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That has been the experience of some of us. We heard the news. A lot of us heard it more than once, but there was a time that we can look back to this night when we did come. And we didn't let anything hold us back from coming. There was the recognition that we were in need. There was the recognition that he was the cure, and the realization that we needed to come to him. And sinner, you haven't done that yet. There is news brought about this balm. But then, secondly, there is believing about the balm. When I was very small, my brother and I used to play with two mini wheels. That was the sort of toys we had in those days. And the way out at home, we used to, I think they might have belonged to my uncle or something, but these mini wheels, and we used to roll the mini wheel. And that was our toy, rolling them about. And I had forgotten to put my mini wheel away one night. So I went out near dark to put it away. And I think it must have been my sister's wee tricycle. It was one of those wee ones with the paddles in the front wheel. And when you turned it on its side, but one of the wheels was missing. And you had just this pointy axle, almost a point on the axle. And I was running out to get my mini wheel, and I tripped and fell, and the axle of the little bicycle went through my jaw and into my mouth. And Mum had to bring me to the doctor. And I remember looking at the doctor, and I knew that what she could do could help me. But to be honest with you, I wasn't really interested. Wasn't really interested in the doctor doing anything for me. She had a bandage and so on that she was going to apply. Actually, should have had stitches. Didn't have them. Shows you how long ago it was. But she applied this material to my cheek and so on, and give mummy stuff to put on it and that kind of thing. See, I believed when I looked at the doctor that she could cure me, Mrs. Edgerton. But I wasn't interested. I screamed my head off. And didn't want her touching me. And folks, for people who lived, whether it was in Gilead or in Egypt, and knew that the balm was available, and even knew that this was the answer to their illness or could greatly help them, that was no good. That was not enough. To enjoy its healing properties, it had to be applied to the wound. It had to be applied to the wound. You see, believing about it was not enough. Because number one, believing about it, for it to be any good for you, you would have to apply it. I've already said that. And so it is with the sinner. Believing about Jesus. We will see in the coming days and years that any sympathy in Northern Ireland that is shown to the church is generally shown to apostate Protestantism and false religion. Because it doesn't have a gospel. And it doesn't call to repent and it doesn't unsettle people in their sin. Well, we want to unsettle people in their sin for their own good. And for men to benefit of God's salvation, they need to leave their sin. They need to leave their sin. Over there in the book of Zechariah, it says there in chapter 7, and the word of the Lord, verse 8, the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. And if you go right down to verse 11, God has been speaking to people, it says, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder. Do you ever try to talk to someone and they went like that? Just leave me alone. Yeah, maybe you did. Well, where it says there, they pulled away the shoulder. In the original, it means they made heavy their shoulder. They simply did not want to hear. Now, that's obvious because the next word's saying, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. And so it is with so many who have believed about the balm, believed about Jesus. They knew that he was the answer. Thinking of the third man that I went to school with. And I remember when in Kilgamean school, on a Friday morning, we used to go to the different ministers who had come in from different denominations. And before I ever did, he went to the Free Presbyterian one, to Reverend Elliot, who was in there very often on a Friday. And he went there and he was always there. And always listening, and remembering him and one of the other boys at school one time talking about what Mr. Elliot had been talking about, and they're actually talking about being saved. But time went on. And we left school, and this fella, he didn't like working. So he decided to rob a lorry. To steal the trailer off a big lorry. Or so he thought. And he had married a girl that I knew. And in stealing the trailer from the lorry, he was caught the very same day and ended up in jail. And when I heard that, I thought of that time back in school. When he and that other boy had talked about the things that Mr. Elliot had been preaching about and about being saved, but it's very evident that he never left his sin. I'm not saying that he didn't believe what he heard. I think he did. But he wouldn't leave his sin. And I ask you the question tonight, are you willing to leave your sin? Don't try to explain it away or to gloss over it or to rationalize what its existence, to talk about it in any terms other than heinous before the Lord. Are you willing to leave it? There's another fella. There's going to be five men tonight in school. I actually remember him. Being in school, and he and I didn't really get on very well. He was one of these hard men, but he knew. I can't remember if I told him or not that if he ever touched me with his crowd with him, I would one day get him on his own. So he never bothered with me, but whenever we left school, he was a most troublesome character. Whenever we left school, he joined the paramilitaries. He ended up in jail for quite a while. And then one day, a few years ago there, I met him walking up Portadown Street. I did recognize him in the distance, and I thought he wouldn't recognize me, and then he just shouted, "Salty!" I looked over, and there, that was me, of course. I just went, and away he went. And folks, there was a man who again had the opportunity in school of hearing the word of God, but he wouldn't leave his sin. It took him further than he wanted to go. And when he got out of jail, he ended up being associated with some woman who was from a paramilitary type background, but on the other end of things, messed up, wouldn't leave his sin. And folks, tonight we cannot exhort you strongly enough of the need not just to believe that Jesus is the answer to your sin, but you need to leave it by looking by faith to him. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Some people think of Christ when we preach about him as a lamb or the lamb. But you need to ask yourself the question tonight, is he my lamb? Have I made him mine by faith? And that will mean leaving your sin, looking to him, and leaning upon his finished work. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We were up in open air in Scarborough, giving out some tracts one day, and there was this lady minister. She had a big robe on and the collar and all. She came along and she took the literature from one of us. It wasn't me, I was a man on up the street. She took the tract and then she went away, but then she came back. And he thought, oh no, here we go. She says, "I just went to the side of the street there and I read your tract," and I said, she says, "I just think this is a marvelous work that you're doing." And he said, well, he said, "Not everybody's thinking that because there's some people refusing us." And she, amazingly, she said, I never met her because she went away. She says, "That's always been the way." And he says, "Well, we're just trying to be faithful in presenting the gospel." And then she said, "But sure, faithful presenters of the gospel have never been popular." He was actually greatly encouraged. But up there in Scarborough, you might not know it was there. I didn't know this was here until I got a phone call one day from a man in Northern Ireland about a little underground market. When I say underground, I don't mean hoods. I mean it was literally down underground, under floor, street level, this market in Scarborough. And somebody had told this man that there had been a bust of John Bunyan on one of the stalls. And he said, "Would you ever be up there and get that for me?" I said, "We'll be up this week. We're going up on outreach again." And I says, "I've never been, but if the market's there," and he gave me the name of the stall, and I went down into the stall, and I looked around, and there was no bust of Bunyan. And I said to the lady that was there at the stall, I said, do you have a bust of John Bunyan?" And she said, "No." And I had noticed something, but it didn't look right. I says, "I was just looking at that." She says, "Well, Shakespeare." I said, "Right." Somebody else had been in the stall and was telling my friend's friend that this was Bunyan. And we're going to sell it to them, but they didn't buy it. And he was thinking, "Why did you not buy it? Because I would like that." But anyway, I said to the lady, "Do you have a bust of Bunyan?" And she said, "No." And she said, "That's Shakespeare." And then she said to me, she says, "I'm from Bedfordshire. Do you know his story?" I said, "I do." And she says, "It's a marvelous story." Or what was the word she used? "It's a tremendous story." And I said, "It is." And we talked about various things in John Bunyan's experience. And I'm convinced now, as I was then, that as I spoke to that woman, that she had left her sin. You cannot know about Bunyan and read his Pilgrim's Progress and not know your need to leave your sin. He left his burden at the cross. Dear men and women, that is what you need to do. Believing about the cure will never change you. Speaking tonight about the cure recognized and then refused. First of all, being brought news about the balm, and then believing about the balm. But I want to mention the benefit of the balm. When people would take this balm that came from Gilead and they would apply it, it was of tremendous benefit to them. Because if they put it on a gaping wound, for instance, it would deal with agitation. It would deal with agitation and give them great comfort. And folks, for those who've come to Christ, all of us can testify that while life is not perfect and it's not always a bed of roses, Christ deals with the agitation that sin brings. And only he can do that. The hymn writer said, "Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me." And to the unsaved people tonight, I want to say, you can reject the message as you may well be planning to do. You can reject the message, but you can never change the relevance and the urgency of that message for you. And you need to get to Christ tonight. If you want the unrest and the agitation dealt with, and more than that, not will the agitation be dealt with, the agitation of sin, but you'll be unburdened. For some people, the balm applied changed everything. It meant they could sleep now. It meant they could see that they were cured. And therefore, bring great gladness to their heart. This is yet another person from school that I've just thought of. Two girls, actually. And one of them was from a very wild background and in different ways, but one of them used to take quite a bit of drink, and they were only very young, maybe 16. And then one night, I just happened to be speaking to the both of them at a social in an Orange Hall, and the both of them were saved. And they both told me they were saved. And the one in particular that was from the very wild background and had lived a wild life, she was pleasant, but as wild as a March hare, she was so glad to be saved. And I was just thinking there, that is probably 36 years ago. And they're still telling everybody. They're still telling everybody because they proved the truth of those words, rolled away, the burden of my sin rolled away. They know what it's like to be unburdened. They know what it's like to have the agitation of sin dealt with, and they come and they trusted the Lord. A fella I knew who was down trying to reach people at night in downtown Toronto, and on the outreach there, his heart was broken when he saw them. He said some of the young girls were no age, they were younger than they should have been, allowed into these nightclubs, but they dressed themselves up and they looked older. And he said some of them, their noses were damaged through snorting, isn't it, cocaine? And actually, some of them had hardly any teeth because their calcium, their whole system was destroyed through substance abuse. And there he was down reaching them with the gospel. What a benefit Christ would be to a person like that. Dear friend, tonight, except you repent, the Bible says, concerning those who entertained thoughts that they were different. He said, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I wonder, are you going to repent tonight? Are you going to benefit from the balm? One more thought concerning this cure, and that is bypassing the balm or the cure. Some people are skeptical of everything. And we've just been in the midst of the pandemic, and while there are some things that we may question, we are not a completely conspiracy theorist to the extent that we believe nothing at all. Some people are. And whenever it comes to salvation, there are some people who just don't believe any of it. They just pass it on by, and they're absolutely not convinced. And I wonder tonight, are you going to pass it by? Are you unconvinced because of unbelief, or are you simply not scared? Again, when I was at school, and this is the final fella, a big fella, and he was a bully. And he would have had people in his class and connected close to him who were believers. But he was a smart aleck and a bully. And when we left school, probably 17 at the time, he was working with another fella. And I don't know what he did on him. This fellow went to school with us too, actually. But he had the other fella scared, because this big fella, he was scared of nobody and nothing. But he didn't count on the other fella coming up behind him when he wasn't watching. And he hit him over the head and killed him. And there's a man who was scared of nothing. Not convinced that anybody could frighten him, and he was gone. And when it comes to the gospel, there are people who are absolutely not convinced, and they're absolutely not scared. And that worries me. It worries me because we're seeing every day the evidence there that people's opportunities all go. And I asked you the question tonight, as we must end now. Are you going to bypass this cure? This is the cure. This balm on Gilead. It's Christ. For you, is it a cure recognized and then refused? Are you going to refuse tonight again? Are you going to come just as you are to him? You've heard me say before about the infidel who had very little time left to live, and he said, I could die in peace if I only knew that the Bible wasn't true. He knew it was, but he rejected it. Surely, men and women, wherever you are tonight listening, you believe the word of God. What a remedy the Lord Jesus is. What a cure he has proved to be for those of us who have trusted him. But what about you this evening? Is it going to be the cure recognized and then refused? I trust tonight that you believe all about Christ, but that you will come to him tonight, repent of your sin, and obtain that salvation.